Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Concern for the out-of-control spending coming out of Washington, D.C. was one of the primary reasons the Democrats suffered such tremendous losses last November. A mandated health care system, more stimulus dollars pumped into the economy, etc., etc. In February 2010, the Democrats voted to raise the debt ceiling $1.9 trillion, meaning the federal government was given a green light to go into that much more debt. That raised the cap, the total cap of federal borrowing to $14.3 trillion. There was an increasing uproar across the country as we tried to comprehend and came to a slow realization of just what $1 trillion is. The November 2010 election gave us all a chance to express our deep concern for out-of-control spending. The Republicans won by a landslide with promises of cut, 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 and more fiscal responsibility. Many were brand-new congressmen with a plan to reduce government and reduce spending. Now the questions are, have they kept those promises? Have they cut spending? Have they done enough? On June 13th, the National Taxpayers Union Foundation's Bill Talley report on legislation proposed during the first 100 days of the 112th Congress was released and has some surprising answers. My guest today is the author of that report, the Bill Talley Project Director, Damian Brady. Thanks, Damian, for being with us.
Well, thanks, Diane. Thanks very much for having me on.
So just what is Bill Talley and what's the history behind that?
Well, what we do with Bill Talley is take a look at every single bill that gets introduced in Congress and try to figure out its effect on spending, how much outlays would be affected in net by each bill. So if there's a bill to create a new grant program, we get the average net cost of that. If they're modifying an existing program, we try to figure out how much we're spending on that program now so we can get the net change, so we figure out what exactly would occur with the budget up or down with each bill that gets proposed. We've been doing this since the 102nd Congress back in 1991, 1992, tracking the data that tracking how much spending each member proposes. Because then we get this database of bills. So for looking at this Congress, we looked at the first 100 days of this Congress and the House to see how they're doing, and there were about 1,500 bills introduced. About half.
Well, in the first 100 days, they introduced 1,500 bills. Is that what you said?
Yes, total.
Wow.
in the House. And so what we do is we research each one of those. So we're looking at the text of the bill, seeing if they authorize any new spending. We're doing research with the Congressional Budget Office. We're calling member offices to try to get data from them about how much their proposals would cost. And so then we have all these databases, or this database of cost estimates. We can take a look at each bill that every single member of Congress has either sponsored or co-sponsored. These are bills that they've given their support to, and we can add up the cost and or savings of each member's list of bills to tabulate their net spending agenda.
So you look at lots of numbers every day.
That's right. Lots of legislative proposals, and we're trying to find lots of numbers on
right.
these things.
Now, shouldn't, this is a dumb question, but shouldn't Congress be doing this? I mean, shouldn't they be part of their concern with spending money? Shouldn't they be doing this before they even before the bills are introduced?
Some offices are very good about that.
Okay.
They always aren't. Sometimes they'll write into their bills that they would authorize such sums as may be necessary. So that means when they're writing the bill, they don't know yet how much the proposal might cost. So that's why they'll have congressional hearings and get feedback from the Congressional Budget Office, which is Congress's scorekeeper, to try to figure out how much money would be necessary.
Okay.
And sometimes a member will tell us, when they introduce a bill and we're trying to figure out how much it will cost, they'll tell us, well, we don't really plan on this bill going anywhere. We just want to get it out there for discussion. But even when they say that, we try to figure out how much it's going to cost, because a lot of times these bills get rolled into other major packages and get passed into law. So we want to make members aware of the potential impact of their legislative agenda, and as well as media and voters and taxpayers.
Wow. Okay. That's a good strategy, because like you said, sometimes these bills, congressmen know these bills are not going to get passed as standalone bills. They'll introduce them as amendments to major legislation.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, do you keep track of each individual congressman? Is that what you said? That each individual, like I could call you up and say, can you tell me basically what the score is on such and such a congressman?
Yep, once we run those numbers into our database, you can go to our website at ntu.org, and you can. We don't have the current member data up yet for this Congress, but you can look at the last Congress, look up your member's name, if they're still around, and you'll get a list of every single bill that they either sponsored or co-sponsored that we have a cost estimate for. And we also try to be fair here. If lots of the same bills get introduced, different copies of it within the same Congress, like, for example, it's very popular to write bills to cancel the automatic pay raise that members of Congress gave themselves. So if a member is on three different versions of that bill, we would only count one of them. That'll be highlighted when you go look at the member report so that we can get a fair assessment of their agenda.
Wow, that's good. Sounds like it's very, very intensive to even be able to keep track of all that. You said 1,500 bills introduced in the first 100 days of this new Congress.
That's just in the House. Our report was just looking at the House to see how this new Republican majority was living up to its campaign promises.
Right. And
I was going to say about half of those bills that were introduced would have really no net impact on spending. It's very popular to write bills to change the name of local post offices or other buildings.
Right.
And we're only looking at spending, so changes to the tax code, we don't include those types of bills. So we're left with a smaller universe of actual estimates.
Right, but yet you had to monitor those 1,500 to see. I mean, you had to at least know what they were.
Yeah. We have a team of researchers that helped us, especially here in the summer. We get our analysts, students come here, and they help us look under the hood of Congress to figure out what's going on.
So have they the new Congress or the new House members, have they made a good start in keeping the promises?
Yes, they are off to a good start, but they have a lot of work cut out for them. We crunched the numbers several different ways. Of those 1,500 bills, we found 204 that would have a net impact on spending. 204 bills that would increase spending, and we found just 58 bills that would cut spending. And then, as I mentioned, a lot of the same bills get introduced. So if you get rid of these overlapping duplicate bills, we found 198 increased bills and 38 bills that would cut spending. So for each spending cut bill, there were five introduced that would increase spending. So
that doesn't sound like a good ratio.
It doesn't, but it depends on what you're comparing it to. These members wanted to undo lots of stuff from the last Congress, and in terms of the bill ratio, that's a big change from the 111th Congress, because for the first 100 days of the 111th Congress, we found 16 bills that would cut spending versus 428 bills that would increase spending. So that's a ratio there of about 27 to 1. So this Congress bought that spending increase to decrease ratio from 27 down to 5.
Well, that's not too bad when you look at it that way. When you look at the whole picture and comparing this Congress with the 111th Congress.
Right. So compared to that, that's good. But then let's look back a little bit further, because there are a lot of historical parallels between this Congress and the 104th Congress. On both those campaigns, the Republicans promised that they're going to come into Congress and cut spending.
Can I interrupt quick? Was that the 1996, when the Republicans took control?
That's right, 1995 and 96. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, new Congress, or Newt Gingrich, led the Republicans to take over the House of Representatives then for the first time in 40 years. And so, you know, this time the Republicans were again swept back into power. So we also looked back at the 104th Congress, that Newt Gingrich Congress, and in there we found about 84 savings bills and 168 bills that would increase spending. So back then the ratio of increases to cuts was 2 to 1. So, and we're at 5 to 1 in this Congress. They still could be doing a little bit better in terms of more members being active, finding ways to cut spending.
Yeah, I know that their pledge to America, there were a lot of promises made. One of them was they wanted to cut government spending to pre-stimulus, pre-bailout levels, saving at least $100 billion in the first year alone. Of course, the first year is not over with yet. Are they on the right track to be able to save that $100 billion in their first year?
The Congress has been working on. They passed their budget resolution. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the savings bills that are in other legislation introduced in the House face a grim outlook in the Senate, where they show no inclination to even propose their own budget, let alone to take up what the House has worked on seriously. So they wrote their resolution to do that, and members have also introduced a spending cap bill that would cut spending back. But they're only looking at generally non-defense discretionary spending for their spending cap, and that was introduced in a bill that would have saved spending by about $200 billion a year. But, you know, unfortunately, there weren't a whole lot of members on some of these really big savings bills, but there were enough to reflect a decent average among the right. Republican Party. So now we can see how much each member could spend in their mm-hmm. legislative agenda. So we can also compare the average Republican and the average Democrat. And the average Republican agenda would have cut spending by about $60 billion annually, as opposed to the average Democrat, who called for net increases in spending by about, it's $6 to $8 billion or so.
Okay, so you're saying the average Republican wanted to cut
$63 billion.
$63 billion.
The average Democrat their list of bills would have increased spending by $6 billion.
Well, I guess that says a whole lot right there.
That's right. And the Democrat number average is a little bit low because one of the largest, most expensive bills that was introduced this Congress is a single-payer universal health care bill. And mm-hmm. in the past, the members in support of this bill say that its full cost, once it's finally fully phased in, it would be over $1 trillion annually. We don't have a new cost estimate for this legislation, especially given its impact with the Obamacare legislation passed in the last Congress.
Right. Yeah, I found it interesting that a lot of times, in many cases, the Congressional Budget Office, their report, their numbers don't jive with what's coming out of the White House or when the Democrats controlled the House. The numbers didn't always jive.
Right, yeah, because if the White House puts out its numbers, and not just this White House, but even past White Houses are pretty generous in their expectations of how much the economy is going to grow in the future. Mm-hmm. So that helps them, you know, mask some budget problems that are actually going to come up when reality hits the fan.
Okay, so they're trying to predict what the economy is going to be in the future.
Yeah, they do that in each of their, every administration does that and forecast rosy scenarios. So, you got to take some of these budget figures with a grain of salt, and especially with the healthcare bill that was passed last year. I think the ultimate cost of that is grossly understated.
Yeah. Now, do you find that as the new House is there working to cut spending, do you find that the new congressmen are more enthusiastic about cutting than the ones who have a track record in Washington?
Yeah, that's interesting. We compared the average freshman member with the average returning member. And on the Republican side, the figures came out pretty much the same.
Okay.
So each would cut spending by about $63 billion.
Okay, so
the freshman Republican would cut just a little bit more than the returning member of Congress.
It is interesting because I figured they'd be way out in front of the established congressman. So that's definitely an interesting number.
Yeah, so that means that not only do you have all these new Tea Party people who were elected to Congress, but they've had a pretty big influence, I think, on their colleagues who are already here, and they've been very eager to get onto the bandwagon
right.
to cut spending.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting.
And
now,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we also looked at several different caucuses within the House of Representatives. These are member organizations where they get together and they share policy ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at those that were self-described as being fiscally conservative. So, we wanted to see whether they lived up to their missions, their caucus's agenda. So one of the biggest longstanding ones has been the Republican Study Committee. That's a caucus of the conservative Republicans. And they would have cut spending by $74 billion. So that's greater than the average Republican. But their agenda was even surpassed by those members of the newer and smaller Tea Party caucus. They would have cut spending by about $99 billion on average. So it's the Tea Party caucus that's really leading the charge among the Republican Party for spending cuts and spending restraint.
Now, what are they mostly targeting in their proposed spending cuts?
There were several things that they campaigned on to slash spending by $100 billion
mm-hmm.
and get it in the direction towards 2008. So that was introduced. That was widely supported. And, of course, they campaigned to repeal Obamacare. So that would save us about $200 billion over the next 5 years, or about $40 billion in annualized savings. There were
just to cut Obamacare, it would save that much?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's lots of new entitlements created mm-hmm. in that program. Let's see. There were one of the most popular ideas among Republicans was either that the spending cap or across the board rescissions, we didn't see a whole lot of specific spending proposals. I mean, there were some, of course. There was proposals to get rid of NPR and cut funding for that. But in general, the biggest cuts that we saw were not for specific programs, but these across-the-board cuts on non-defense discretionary spending. The biggest cutting proposal that we saw from the Democrats was to cut defense spending. They introduced a proposal to cut defense spending back to 2008 levels. That would save about $45 billion annually.
Yeah, I've noticed that always seems big contrast between the Republicans and the Democrats. The Democrats always target defense spending. The Republicans don't. So,
right.
And the way I look at it, we need to put more money into defense. That's my personal opinion, rather than cut, just because of the situation we find ourselves in the world theater. So, but you're saying that the Tea Party caucus seems to be the one that is mostly behind pushing the Republican Party into more spending cuts.
That's right. The average member of the Tea Party would have cut spending by $30 billion more than the average Republican. So they are the ones in the party really leading the charge.
That's
okay. So, you know, we have all these cuts. So, you know, what does it mean? We looked at all of the bills all the cut bills that were introduced, excluding the overlapping bills, and we found that if all those bills passed into law, we would see spending cut by about $290 billion, which is a lot of money. $297 billion, so just shy of $300 billion. Mm-hmm. And so let's compare that figure and see what it means. It's a lot more than what we saw in the same time period in the previous Congress, which those cuts would only have amounted to about $55 billion. And it's even more than was proposed in the 104th Congress. That Congress would have proposed to cut spending by $124 billion. So this Congress has taken a lot more steps to cut spending. But unfortunately, even though it's more spending reductions that were called for back in 1995, the budget situation has gotten so much worse that it's not going to make as much of an impact in our current deficit. So really a lot more work needs to be done.
So even though they proposed cutting $297 billion, that's because of the overall economic situation in the country, that's not going to make that much of an impact.
Unfortunately, no. Yeah, the savings from the 104th Congress, which would have cut $124 billion, that would have erased three-quarters of the deficit at the time, which was $164 billion.
Billion with a B.
That's right. Remember when that sounded like an
obscene
figure?
Yeah, I know. And now we're talking, just what is the deficit right now?
Since 1995, the deficit is 10 times worse. It's $1.6
trillion. $1.6
trillion.
Now, explain to us what that means.
More than 10 times worse.
Huh?
More than 10 times worse.
Yeah.
That means that the government is spending $1.6 trillion more than it takes in revenue each year. For every dollar that the government is spending this year, 43% of that is borrowed. 43 cents of every dollar are borrowed from abroad. So this is why we have crashed up into that $14.3 trillion debt limit.
Now, you know, it was the 111th Congress passed this pay-as-you-go bill. What does that mean? And if they pass pay-as-you-go, why doesn't it seem to be that that's what they're doing?
Pay-go means that for certain increases that are passed into law, that you're going to have to raise taxes or cut something somewhere else. Now, the problem with PAYGO is that Congress can decide whenever it wants to that it's not going to enforce these PAYGO rules for an individual bill. And then it tends to stack the table in favor of tax hikes or fees and increases in budgetary gimmicks rather than actually leading to cuts somewhere else.
Actually solving the problems. So PAYGO is not necessarily an answer to the problem because they don't have to enforce it, and sometimes that also means tax increases.
Taxes, or they'll call them fees, or do all kinds of other budgetary gimmicks and sleight of hand.
So I know your news release mentioned the Republicans said they'd bring an axe to do the cuts for the expenditures for the country, for the federal government. But the news release mentioned they may need to bring a chainsaw.
That's right. We drew up the analogy that when the Republicans were booted out of control of the House back in 2006, they were sent to the woodshed. not only for their ethical lapses mm-hmm. and controversies that were taking place on the Hill, but also from their drift from their fundamental fiscal conservative principles. They lost a lot of support from the party. A lot of moderates left them. And they're back now. They promise that they learn their ways and they're going to come to Congress and do a lot to cut spending. So we found that they are. The House, you know, is trying as much as one chamber of Congress can to cut spending. But they did not bring enough tools. The savings that we've seen so far are only going to cut less than 20% of the current deficit. They really need to come up with more tools. It also, you know, harkens back to the last presidential campaign when Senator McCain was proposing some across-the-board cuts, and President Obama, a candidate then, said that McCain's proposal was unfair, was going to be taking a hatchet to the budget, and instead he was going to go through it with a pinpoint laser and, you know, mm-hmm. erase inefficiencies. So he's had 2 years to do that, and there have been a few administrative savings here or there, some successes, but the rest of the budget is growing uncontrolled, as you can see in our $1.6 trillion deficit. So his laser-like approach has not worked.
No, I mean, you have to definitely take some drastic steps because spending is totally out of control, even as the Republicans have in the House. Again, like you're saying, they can pass things in the House, but then the Senate is the problem. And then, of course, can always be vetoed by the president. But, I mean, we just need to take a chainsaw to it somehow and just bring this back under control because, you know, I've watched YouTube videos and such trying to explain what $1 trillion is, but it's still mind-boggling that amount of money. And the fact that the U.S. government borrows 43 cents of every dollar they spend. What other, I mean, a household can't do that. We are confined to our budget. And it's just incomprehensible for the average American to understand how the government can get away with this. You know, I know it's detailed as to how they can do that, but it's just like, how can they do this?
Yeah, we, you know, unfortunately, we find very few areas where members reach across the aisle in terms of their bill sponsorship mm-hmm. and find areas of agreement to cut spending. We found that they're much more likely to co-sponsor bills together to increase spending somewhere rather than to cut things. So we really do have a big partisan mm-hmm. divide in Congress. I mean, they're going to have to find common ground somewhere for the good of the republic.
Yeah, that's the key for the good of the republic, where the Democrats are targeting defense spending and the Republicans are targeting other spending. I agree, they have to find common ground for the good of the republic, and that seems to be a major problem here, and there's just too much politicking going on in Washington, which is typical. But, you know, in the real world, we're struggling with the economy as it is, with the unemployment as it is. But, you know, it's good to hear that at least the 112th Congress are making a good effort to keep their promise to cut spending. They just have a much harsher economy to deal with than the 104th Congress did. So I'm glad you guys did this bill tally. It helps us to understand where the new Congress is coming from. Give us your website again and how we can contact you and just how we can get a hold of this report.
Sure. You can check us out at ntu.org. It'll be right there on the front page. We have one little window that rotates different pictures, and it's one of the highlighted items up there. You can view our special bill tally report on the first 100 days of the new House of Representatives.
Okay. And if people want to contact you about their specific congressman, they could just email you, or is that
okay? Yeah, sure. Get a hold of me at dbrady@ntu.org.
Okay, fantastic, because I got some questions for you.
Excellent. All right. I'll be glad to see if I can help out.
I appreciate your taking, you know, you're spending your day looking at all these numbers because it helps us who don't like numbers better understand what's going on.
We're here for all you guys, so keep an eye on these people so that other people can go out and have real lives.
Okay. I appreciate that. Again, ntu.org, and I encourage folks to check out your all's website. So take care and keep up the good work.
Thanks so much for having me on, Diane.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Cheers.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.